In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's Gospel speaks to us about two main points. The first one is about humility. The Lord says, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The second principle is the principle of offenses. And listen to what he says here. I read the passage for you, just a couple of verses. He says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, meaning somebody who's already Christian, or one of the young believers, or maybe a new convert, somebody who's young in faith, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into the hellfire. So in this passage, the Lord is saying that there are two main types of offenses. There are offenses from within, or the internal offenses, in which we offend ourselves, and there are external offenses that perhaps come to us from outside, or perhaps we offend others by these type of external offenses. And when he spoke about the internal offenses, he said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. This reminds me of what St. James said about these external offenses. He says, let no one, when he says that he is tempted, say that he is tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. So then what's the source of the wickedness, right? He goes on and answers. He says, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So these internal offenses are the ones that we harm ourselves with by our own temptation, our own desire, and we are drawn to them from within. The external offenses originate from outside of an individual. And this is what I'll focus on this morning. So what is an offense? An offense is something basically that causes me to sin. An offense is something that causes me to sin. And when we say there is an offense, there must be somebody we're offending, right? So the offense can be twofold. It can be against the person, if it's an external offense, and if it's an internal offense, it's against the lawgiver, who is God. Actually, every offense that we commit against our brethren, it's against God as well. Because all sin at the end of the day is against the lawgiver, who is God, who created everything perfect and good. So when we sin, we offend him, thus we need reconciliation from him, and we need reconciliation from our brethren. Hence repentance and confession. The first type of offense I'll speak about is the offense of false teaching. And now, with especially all the different ideas going on now in social media and the news, this is extremely important. And the Pauline epistle from today spoke about it. It comes from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Listen to what he says. He says to the Galatians, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's saying here that the false teaching is a perversion of the true gospel of Christ. Or it can be perhaps a wrong interpretation of the gospel of Christ, if we speak about something that is written. Of course, when St. Paul was writing this, there was nothing really written. It was all verbal. It was all the tradition of the church, right? So he's speaking this in regards to the tradition of the church, and later what would become the written scripture in the New Testament as well. So here, this is where the distinction is. One's oral and one's the interpretation of scripture. Then he goes on, he says what? But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats himself. As we have said before, and so I say again, if anyone teaches any other gospel to you, then what you have received, let him be accursed. So he's basically saying what? after we've been handed down the faith from the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what we disseminate among you or preach to you, if even an angel from heaven comes and says anything otherwise, let the angel be accursed. Look what he's saying. So basically anything besides the tradition of the church at the time, let anything else be accursed. Why is it so harmful? Why are false teachings so harmful? Because it basically deceives people to stray from the true gospel. I'll give you some examples of these false teachings. Number one is eternal security, which basically says that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Right? Once we're baptized and we accept the Lord Jesus, then we're going to go to heaven regardless of what we do. This again goes against what was the teaching of the early church. Another one is, and perhaps which is maybe more in our face, is the normalization of sin. Calling things that are sinful to be something that are tolerant or something that is good or something that is acceptable. Again, this is, now we're distorting what is good and what is evil, what is sinful and what is not. Again, this is a false teaching. Another false teaching is the prosperity gospel, where all we're preaching is the goodness of God. But we forget the severity and judgment of God. In order for us to have a right understanding of who God is, there has to be a balance, right? Because if all I'm hearing is God is good, God is good, God is love, then and He accepts us no matter what, then I carry my life in whatever way I want to and fall back on what? God is good. He'll accept me as I am. But we see very clearly throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, that this is not the case. Judas, who was one of the 12 that Christ Himself selected, He said of him after he fell, it was better for him not to be born. Right? And He calls him the son of perdition. Right? So we can't be and lay prey of these kinds of false teachings. Another one is that salvation, we can acquire salvation without the participation on our part, without our work. Right? So our work and our response to the grace of God given to us freely is not really important. It's a one-way street. Again, this is a false teaching. What would be the result, though, of accepting and adopting any of these false gospels or false teaching? It can be catastrophic. It can be catastrophic. There was a heretic in the early church. The first major heresy in the history of the church was the heresy of Arius. And Arius was an Alexandrian. He was a Coptic priest from Alexandria. And he was known to be extremely eloquent in his speech. He was very eloquent. And many people flocked to him and heard him because of this eloquence. But unfortunately, because of this, he became proud and he began to introduce the doctrine of the Lord Jesus being superior or inferior to God the Father. That he was a created person by God the Father. And he is not God and equal in essence to God the Father. And he went and he said, okay, let me look through Scripture and see what I can find to defend my thesis. So he found a verse in Scripture that says what, my Father is greater than I. The Lord Jesus said this. So he took this and said, okay, he said himself that my Father is greater than I, therefore he's inferior to the Father, therefore he can't be God. So who is he? He's somewhere in between. He's neither fully God, but he's somewhere in between a human and God. He's kind of like maybe a demigod or something. However, this was a misunderstanding, because the early church, when they read this verse that said, my Father is greater than I, they all understood this to mean in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ was the person of the Godhead who took humanity, who took flesh. So he was subject to hunger and pain and suffering and ultimately the cross. The Father didn't suffer these things. So in this regard, he's inferior to the Father because he's less than because he suffered. But he's not less than him in essence, right? So when he says, my Father is greater than I, because he never had to go through these kind of sufferings. And we can't forget what else the Lord said. He says, I and my Father are one. Again, very clear of the a unity in essence here. And he also said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So again, he is saying that he is one in essence with the Father. And what Arius did to spread his heresy throughout the area in the time was to make his teachings in song form, right? So he took these false teachings and he started to make songs. And of course he's very eloquent, so I'm sure it rhymed and there was a nice tune to it, so it was very catchy, like perhaps some of the songs now, and it was propagated among the people. So in response to this, St. Athanasius and the church, they began to develop the Theotokeias in the church in Tisbeha. Every day of the week has its own Theotokeia, and these Theotokeias like re-emphasize the Orthodox faith, right? The understanding of the Trinity, the understanding of St. Mary being the Mother of God, and so on. All in response to the heretics, the heresies at the time. And again, if we look at many of the false teachings, and we look at the many denominations of Christianity today, you know, whether it be Pentecostal, whether it be Protestant, whether it be Catholic, many different denominations of Christianity. Can they all be right? Can many things that are contradictory to one another be the same or be correct? No. One has to be right or true, and the others have to be false. One of the major flaws in the development of Christianity in the West was the freedom to interpret Scripture as one sees fit. So I can read the Bible and I can interpret it as I like, or as I see, or as they say, as the Holy Spirit gives me interpretation. This is extremely rejected in the Orthodox Church. We don't practice this, nor do we teach this. Because what can be the result of this is what we see today. Hundreds of thousands of different churches believing different things. If I attend a church and I don't like what the priest is saying or the pastor is saying, I can go and open up my own church. And somebody else can attend there, and if they don't like what I'm saying, they can go and open up their own church. Right? So then you have these many branches of Christianity that are teaching different things. And we lose this unity, this one body and one spirit and one baptism that the church and the Lord Jesus established. The Mormon church, for example, is based on the revelation of one person, Joseph Smith, right? And based on his revelation, the whole faith is built, right? If we contrast this to Christianity, is the Christian faith built on the revelation of one person? No. It's built on what all of the apostles and over hundreds of individuals saw and witnessed to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just one person, right? Anytime there is a belief built on one person's revelation, this should raise a red flag, right? And say, this is the signs or the seeds of a false teaching. The second offense is the offense of behavior. And I think this offense is especially harmful when there's a discrepancy between the person's speech and their behavior, or one's words and one's actions. And the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, he warns them and he tells them, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery?" So he's saying to them, we're saying something and some are doing the same thing that they're saying. We call this hypocrisy. And I think the classic example of hypocrisy in the New Testament are the Pharisees, right? Look what the Lord says about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you, observe, and that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." So he told the people, what they're teaching you is right. But what they're exemplifying to you is not right. So do as they say, don't do as they do. This, of course, is a very major stumbling block, especially when it comes to servants or clergy who perhaps behave in a way that's unfitting for Christians to behave, right? It's one thing if we see one of the young children curse or say something that is inappropriate. Be another thing if we see a servant or a clergyman say the same thing. We'll be taking offense, and perhaps we will this will be the cause of some people not coming to the church. How can I come to a church and the priest is doing so and so? How can I come to a church and let my children come to Sunday school when the Sunday school teachers are doing so and so? Or they're teaching one thing in Sunday school and then they're doing another thing outside. And this, of course, there's a lot we can say about this. For example, some of the servants, and even all other people in general, we'll take some of the greatest feasts and the greatest celebrations in the church and we turn them into fashion shows, right? We have like the feasts of the resurrection, the feast of nativity, weddings, and so on. It changes from something of a celebration, a spiritual celebration, to be something like, can I outdo the person next to me in what I'm wearing? It's time to make a fashion statement in this day. We have somebody come to church with the guys can come with some weird kind of suit. The ladies come with things perhaps that are revealing and inappropriate and fitting for church and for Christians in that matter. And we accept this and say that this is okay. My beloved, this is one of the greatest stumbling blocks. There's a famous saying that somebody said. He says, you know, there are five Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. Most people will never read the first four Gospels, but they always read the fifth Gospel. And that's you and I, right? So at the end of the day, people will judge our faith based on our actions and how we carry ourselves. And sometimes we can cause the name of Christ, God forbid, to be blasphemed because of our actions. This is grave. That's why St. Paul teaches us and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There should be a distinction, there should be a difference between you and I and the rest of the people of the world. So why? So that they may see our light and glorify our Father who is in heaven. The third offense is the offense of speech, the offense of our tongue. St. James tells us, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So he says, if a person can discipline his tongue, he'll be perfect. This is extremely hard, because it's very easy for us to speak. And now I'll add today even the person who disciplines his comments on social media can be added into this category. Because the worst of people come out on social media. The things perhaps we might say to a person on social media, we would never dare to say in front of them or in person, right? So I'd add to this these as well. Consider the ways we offend others by word. We perhaps can offend them by a bad or inappropriate joke. We can offend them, of course, by cursing at them or yelling at them. We can affect them by gossiping about them, right? Talking about to others about them behind their back. And again, if we look at the social media, which is perhaps more powerful even now than speaking, because we can speak a word and it's gone. It's heard, yes, but locally. But I can say something online and it stays forever and many people, thousands of people read it and witness it. So it's perhaps even more dangerous than the spoken word. And people destroy one another's relationships and their reputations all on social media, putting down people, speaking aggressive language. So the sins of the tongue, my beloved, are many. That's why, David in Psalm 140, and we pray this in the book of Egbeya in the 12th hour, he says something beautiful. Perhaps this is a prayer we can learn and we can say together. He says, O Lord, set a watch on my mouth and a strong door for my lips. Set a watch on my mouth, whatever comes on, and put like a gate, a strong gate over my lips, so I think twice before I speak. And if I think of something offensive I want to say, I keep this gate closed. Lord, keep this gate closed when it doesn't have anything good to say. The fourth offense is the offense of appearance. And this is how I spoke about a little bit today of how we present ourselves. Whether it's how we dress, whether it's... And by the way, the dressing is not just the ladies nowadays. Unfortunately, there's the trends now that are affecting the men, right? They have this trend now of gender confusion, where they want women to dress like men and men to dress like women, to like make their hair really long. And even there are some people, like men, who put makeup on now and put earrings. This is very confusing and very, again, this is not the way that God created humanity. We need to focus, kid, on keeping humanity in an unadulterated fashion. God created them male and female with distinction. And St. Paul teaches us how women, it's a ground for them to have long hair, and it's a shame for men to have long hair, but it should be short hair, right? This is something, again, that was from the early church and something that was taught in the early church. Practicing these things is something that we need to do and something we need to teach our children. Yani, it's sad sometimes. You know, sometimes I have three boys, and if you ask me, did you want a girl? I would say yes. But some parents, because of this, and they don't get what they want, whether a boy or girl, they'll take the last yani boy, for example, and then say, can nifsif bint? And what do? They may make his hair long, right? When dallafi is ayil bint, right? And all of these things. وخلي يلبس بقى يعني الشبشب بتاع ماما and the high heels والفستان, right? We do this and we think that this is cute. But actually this confuses the child. It confuses from his role, from understanding who he is as a boy, which will later develop into a man, right? We have to be very cautious of this. This is why in the book of Proverbs it says what? Train up a child in the way that he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Believe me, what we teach children when they are young, they will not depart from it. Even if during their teenage years they go astray for a little bit, but they will never forget the foundation and principles we put in them when they were young, right? So we have to be very careful. We have to be different, distinguished from the people of the world, an unadulterated image of Christ before the world. The fifth offense is the offense of the leaders. And I speak to myself here first, but this along are the leaders, could be the parents, could be the clergy, the priests, the bishops. It could be Sunday school servants, leaders of their class. It could be deacons. It could be teachers in school. It could be a position of leadership in my career. All of the positions of leadership, the offenses that come from them are more harmful. Why? Because of their highly influential role. You know, I saw a very sad, as I was preparing the sermon, I was trying to look for pictures. And I forget what I was looking for the pictures. And I saw this very sad, you know, picture of like two young parents who had like, you know, tattoos everywhere, something coming out of their mouth. And they were in this kind of party and then they were smoking. And it was just horrible. And in the middle was this young child, maybe like 6 months old. I looked and I was very heartbroken for this young child. What chance does this young child have growing up in this kind of environment? What kind of confusion will they be faced with? What kind of, you know, heart-wrenching things will they go through? Right? Many. And I think the offense of leaders is the most. That's why, my beloved, you'll find in the church, we pray for the patriarch, we pray for the bishop, we pray for the priests and the Sunday school servants and all the servants of the church. Why? Because if the leaders falter, everyone falters under them, right? If parents, for example, you know, have a particular bad habit, for example, it's anger and wrath, you'll find the children are subject to this and they will grow in this and be influenced by this, right? So the offense of the leader is perhaps one of the most devastating. And again, I speak to myself, Annie, before anyone else. The last external offense is the offense of the media. And again, this is the overwhelming majority of media that is produced in this country, unfortunately, promotes three things: sex, violence, and drugs. Right? If you look at the media that's produced, there's some kind of hidden message about these things. And people ask why. And the producing industry will tell you, because it makes money. This is why they do it. And in these things, they promote deception. For example, they make you sympathize with things that are wrong or inappropriate behaviors. I'll give you an example. Perhaps there is a movie who has this young lady who forms a relationship outside of marriage. And it begins, and they have this kind of romanticism, right? And everything's going well. And then midway, in the middle of the movie, you'll find that the man is now having a relationship with some other woman. And then the woman finds out, and then she's heartbroken, and all of this. And it turns like, and then there's anger at him for doing this. And then this is kind of how the movie plays out, right? What happened here? It made us sympathize with the woman who is being cheated on, right? But then we completely disregarded the point of the relationship from the beginning, a relationship outside of wedlock. Is this not sin? It's still sin, right? So look, we took one sin and we sympathized with it, which was having this relationship out of wedlock. So then this normalizes. And this actually, in this country, this is normal. Having a relationship out of wedlock is normal, right? But it's sin. It's fornication, right? The Bible is very clear about it. But again, it's normalized in the media. You can look also the same with, for example, the propaganda of the homosexual community, the LGBTQ. They always present anybody who is like them as a victim in some kind of way, right? So you might have a person who's homosexual in a movie or whatever, and this person was discriminated against, or this person was mistreated by a certain person, and then we look and say, how could this person be treated so bad? Shame on them. And the person who's mistreating them is probably somebody, could be a Christian, right? Could be some type of, conservative. Could be somebody who is decent, right? But in the movie, they're going to portray them as being aggressive and anger and vulgar and all of these things. So then what happens? We look and we say, this person, haram alayh, when we sympathize with them, and then we say, no, all these people are treated like this. And then we sympathize with them, and then we agree with the cause. Right? Again, it's very deceptive. It doesn't mean that the person who mistreated somebody is good. Of course not. This is bad as well. But it's just the idea of how it's presented. Is this the normal? Most likely not. I doubt it. And you know what else is very concerning? So, back in the day, I guess maybe 20 years ago or so, before the inception of social media, in order to produce this kind of harmful content, producers would have to pay people to do it. Hollywood would hire actors and actresses to make these kind of propaganda videos and so on and use them. Do you know what happened now with social media? We are not only just the consumers of this garbage, but we're also the producers of the same garbage. Now social media has made it feasible for people to film themselves in inappropriate ways, take pictures of themselves, or make, videos of fights, or make videos of dares, and all of these things. And this becomes the propriety or the property of the social media platform. And they turn and use this against other people to get them addicted. So did you see what they did? What they used to pay for, they take from us for free. Right? And wehna, and hopefully it's none of us actually, hopefully none of us here, but the rest of the world, we're participating in this and we're giving them our content, and we're getting paid nothing for this. We shouldn't get paid for it, aslan. We shouldn't do it. But you see what they're doing? They're robbing us. What's the saying? They're robbing Peter and stealing, or giving to, they're robbing Peter and giving to Paul, something like this, right? This is exactly what's happening, right? So we're both the consumers and the producers. This is how dangerous these social media platforms are. Again, this is a deception. It's one of the offenses, the major offenses of this age, the defense of the media. The last thing I'll briefly mention here because of the time is the internal offenses. These are basically offenses that we shoot ourselves in the foot with, right? These things that have to do with the senses, primarily the senses. And the Lord instructs us to deal with them very clearly. He says, if your arm causes you to sin, cut it off, right? If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. He doesn't say negotiate with it, but he says cut it off. It seems very radical, and it seems very, something very harsh, but this is really the only way, right? If we speak about an unhealthy addiction, the unhealthy addiction, the treatment of this is to cut it off, not to say, okay, we'll just, we'll take it easy, mashadif A, we'll wean off. It never weans off because it's addictive, right? It has to be cut off, cut off, cut off. It reminds me of of gangrene. Gangrene, is like an infection usually in the extremities, in your feet or your hands, and many different conditions can lead to this. But in essence, you don't get enough oxygen to your extremities, and the tissue begins to die. And it turns very dark, as you see here, and it looks very dark and black. So khalas, this tissue is dead. So what do the doctors do in this situation? They do what's called a radical amputation, right? Where they'll see where the dead tissue is and go a little bit further to make sure they get all of the dead tissue. Do they say to themselves, okay, we'll just leave it. Maybe we'll just monitor, we'll just clean it. Do they say this? No. They say we act now and cut it off. Why? Because if they don't do anything about it, this part that is infected can infect the blood, and this will be catastrophic to the person, and it costs them their life. So what the medicine is practicing, exactly what the Lord said. the medical team will say what? It's better for them to live without hands and feet than to die because of this disease. Right? This is what the Lord is teaching us. If there is an offense that we cause ourselves, He says, cut it off. It's better for us to live without a cell phone than go to hell with the cell phone. Right? If the something is causing me to sin and I can't, you know, rid myself of it, cut it off. And just cut it off until perhaps, you know, things get better and then we can reintroduce it again. But if it causes the same problem, cut it off. Right? And then leave it. Cast it far from you. Right? It's not worth exchanging, you know, for one's salvation. The gospel today teaches and warns us about many of the offenses that come to us and perhaps we might do to others. Our goal, my beloved, is for us to be perfect images of Christ, to be this unadulterated image of Christ, to not be an offense to others, but to help others see the light of Christ and for others to see Christ in me. And if there is an offense in me that is harming me, we need to cut it off. May we all be vigilant in these offenses. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.